I love doing church with you. I love getting to worship with you. We have such an amazing God and so many things to be grateful for. And one of the things that I love about this church is that not only do we give praise to God, but we just overflow to the world around us. As God blesses us, we just overflow to other people. Something I love is just all the ways that we as a church overflow of God's love, His peace and His joy to the world around us. Where God has blessed us with resources, and we give and we just overflow and just let them flow to the world and give to others in our community and be a blessing to the world around us. It just excites me. So amazing. And you know, there's some awesome ways we do that, and there's some ways that are really complex, and there's some ways that are pretty simple. I'm really excited coming up this year. You know, the weather's turning a little bit. Finally, you turn the heater on in the morning and then at night, and then for some reason the AC in the middle of the day. It's a very confusing time for me right now. But in this time, it's reminding me, winter's coming. Something we're really excited about is through our Daily Bread food pantry, we're going to start collecting winter coats, winter hats, scarves for all age groups. We prefer new, but we're also collecting some that are gently used. And the reason why that excites me is because we can just do a drive for clothes, and that's great. But even more so is we're God's people. Man, each and every one of those is just it's an act of worship. They're saying, God, you've given to me, so I'm going to go give to someone else. So we pray that every single one of those is just a representation to someone of how much God's love is flowing out of people. Like God has worked in us, so we are loving people in this very simple way. But we're doing it because of what God's done in us. And so I just thank you for being a people that just overflows. And today we're going to talk about that word overflowing a little bit today. We've been in Psalms 23, and I'm going to remind us of it again. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He leads me or guides me along right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff that comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can we give God some praise today if we believe that? Man. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. The problem is, I've met a lot of people who have a different Psalm 23 in their life. Like, it's a different version of the same words. And I found these words the other day, and I found them very interesting. Because we talked about, it's very important who your shepherd is, isn't it? If God isn't your shepherd, these promises that are being talked about are not going to happen in your life. And I want to read to you something that I saw recently called Psalm 23 for the Modern World. It goes like this. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me into deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Yea, though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done. For my ideal has become an ordeal. Deadlines and approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My inbox overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. In fact, there's a lot of people that I see living this way. Rushing from thing to thing to thing, overloaded with so much stress and anxiety. There's so many things going on in their life. But yet we have a promise in Scripture of life and life to the full. A Jesus who says, come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. And so today I want to talk about a specific word that I find interesting in verse 5. We've talked about the fact that God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We've talked about the fact that he anoints our head with oil. But then there's this last line, my cup overflows. It's an interesting thing that David's saying here. Because we understand that David's life was not always overflowing with joyful circumstances or riches or all the things that we might associate with an overflowing life. But despite all that, despite the dark valleys, as well as the mountaintops in David's life, he says, my cup overflows. The fact is, I have found that there's two types of mindsets in people that I often see. There's an overflow mindset, and there's a scarcity mindset. Well, what I mean by that is this. There's a lot of people who have what I call a scarcity mindset, meaning that they just never have enough. Like, it just doesn't matter how much they have, they're always going to want more. Not just with finances and other things, but even joyful experiences. Like, they go and they get something that should just absolutely fill them up, and they need another one. They struggle in life to be content. They get a little bit of money, oh, we need some more. Fact is, this is a natural response in our brain. In fact, we are naturally wired to keep getting things. It's a survival instinct. The problem is when that survival instinct that's wired into our brain, like many other things that are naturally wired into our brain, that they can lead to some bad things eventually if not properly shepherded. And in the same way in our life, that mindset, man, you just got to get a little more, a little more, a little more. Once we have enough, it can be a real challenge for our life. And that's why in our world today, in a world that has so much more than any generation ever had, we have so many people that are even more depressed, are even more in need in a sense, that are still striving for so many things, yet we have so much. I mean, there was a time, you know, people joke about older generations will come and go, man, our favorite toy when we were a kid was a stick and a rock. And we were happy. Had to walk to school uphill both ways in the snow, right? And yet we have so many more luxuries, and yet somehow it seems like there's just still so much anxiety and desire and need in our world. Oftentimes, it's from a scarcity mindset. We get some, we need more. We get some, we need more. But then, it reminds me, there's a first billionaire that was ever recorded, John D. Rockefeller, was once asked the question, how much money is enough money? To the man who at the time was the richest man in the world, and he said, just a little bit more. And that pretty much sums it up. And then there's this thing called the overflowing mindset. I've known some people that just seem to just things just flow out of them. Like God does something in them. And it's just, they're just weird. Like joy is just overflowing out of them. Thankfulness is just overflowing out of them. As God blesses them financially, they seem to just like give it away. And then all of a sudden, God gives them more. Like there's just this thing in their life that just seems like there's something flowing out of them that's so much different than everyone around them. Today I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this idea of overflowing, how to live a lifestyle of overflow. There's a couple things I want to talk about. But to live a lifestyle of overflowing, I'm going to go back to Psalm 23 in a second, but I want to say this. I think the first thing that comes down to is a daily habit, a daily disciplined time with God. A daily disciplined time with God. You notice in Psalm 23, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It starts with the fact that the Lord is his shepherd, and then you notice he continues on. He leads me beside quiet waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Even when I go through the dark times, you're right there beside me. There's this closeness that David speaks of. Fact is, when David uses metaphor as a shepherd, there's a reason he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Not, the Lord is my life coach who I check in with once a month. Or the Lord is my mentor. Once a week, we get together. And sometimes we can do that in the Christian walk. Fact is, I hope this isn't the only time that you're connecting with your Lord and Savior. I love that you're here, and I think church is so important. It's an important time for us to connect as a body, but also have this corporate time of worshiping God and sort of getting some good truth into our life and getting into God's Word. But I hope this isn't the only time we get into God's Word. If it is, in the same way, I hope today after service isn't the only time that you eat. I hope you eat throughout the week. And the same is true for God's Word and walking with Him. Fact is, for God to be our shepherd, it takes a daily walk of walking with Him. Daily, intentional time with Him. Matthew 11, Jesus tells us, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." See, getting that relief involves coming to Him. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavily laden." It doesn't say that God's going to kick down your door and go, "Come here, give me this." Bible says we can come boldly before God's throne, bringing anything in our life. Paul says to pray about everything. In all circumstances, come before Him and give it to Him. God is a gentleman. Bible says, "I stand at the door and knock." He says, "I don't have a battering ram." God says, "Come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavily laden, and I will give you rest." The rest comes when you come to God. The rest comes when you bring it to Him. The rest comes when you spend that daily intentional time with Him where you're bringing every single area of your life to Him. Some people have asked, "Man, how much stuff should I pray about in my life?" And I heard a question once posed to me and it changed how I viewed prayer and time with God. Someone said, how much should you pray about? Well, the question is, how much of your life do you want to see God's blessing and power in? How much of your life do you want to see God show up and show off in? If it's just this much, then only pray about this much. Only bring this much to God. But if you want to see God move in all areas of your life, then bring all areas to Him. Come to Him. And so it's about daily intentional time. And what does that look like? Looks like getting into God's Word. Hearing from Him through His Word. He uses His Word to speak to us. It's about taking intentional time of prayer in your day. And sometimes that time of prayer is simply a time of God help. In fact, the Bible actually says that when we don't have the words to say, the Holy Spirit will go before the throne on our behalf with groans. Like those moments when I got nothing else going on, I can't even express exactly how I feel. It's like I just imagine the Holy Spirit being before the throne going, "This is how Tim feels. Ugh." God's like, yep, I got it. I understand. The same way in our life, it's about bringing things to Him. Prayer can be long. It might be a long list, or it might just be a time of, "God, I just need you. I just need your help. You know what I need. And I thank you in advance for what you're going to do." It's about intentionally taking that time to ask Him to show up in our life. Taking time to read God's Word each and every day. I hope you have an intentional habit of reading God's Word. Potentially coming to Him in prayer and worshiping Him. Fact is, every time we pray, it's an act of worship. Having that intentional time is something that's in your schedule. It's non-negotiable. It doesn't have to be super long, but it's a time that we say, no, nothing else is going to take. Whether it's a 5-minute thing in the car before you go into work, whatever it is, it's saying, this is something that's non-negotiable in my life. This will happen. This is the same as putting on pants. Nothing else will happen unless I do this. It's non-negotiable. And out of that, amazing things happen. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says that God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you abound in every good work. God is able to bless us abundantly and give us every single thing that we need, but it involves spending time with our good Father, our good Shepherd. Fact is, I've found in life that When things go wrong for people, a lot of times the statement is made, man, that just ended wrong. Like it started off so good and it ended so poorly. But what I have been finding in my life is that oftentimes, especially in a day, when I come into a day and I get down to the end of it and I go, wow, that day did not go well. I did not handle myself well. It's not the fact that the day ended badly. It's that it probably started badly. When I start with a time with God, it'll change the rest of the day. That's why taking time out of your day to spend with God is so incredibly important. As Romans says, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's hard for my mind to be renewed when I'm not putting any renewing material into it. So the first thing that leads to an overflowing life is having a daily disciplined time with God. The second thing is this, living a lifestyle of gratitude and thankfulness. Living a lifestyle of gratitude is so incredibly important to have an overflowing life. In fact, this isn't going to be on the screen, but I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to go to Psalm 103 with me. Psalm's in the middle of your Bible. If you got your Bibles, kind of open it up in the middle. And every single time, or should I say 65% of the time, it works every single time. You'll be in Psalms. Psalms 103, this is another psalm of David. And here David writes this. He says, praise the Lord, my soul. If you grew up with the King James Version, you grew up with, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things. Ooh, that's a good one. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities, according to our sins. Sometimes we get this idea that like almost there's two different gods in the Bible. And people will kind of talk about, well, there's this like Old Testament God. He seems so angry. Then we get to the New Testament. It's all about grace and love and how he gives us this mercy. But in the Old Testament, I don't see that. But yet David is writing here well before the time of Jesus saying, listen, God, one of the reasons he's praising him is because you don't give us what we deserve. That's called grace. He says you have so much love for us. It's so amazing. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's a reason to praise God, and I love that imagery. If you're someone who's walking with Jesus, the moment that you come and ask for forgiveness, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far your sins are. They're gone. And I will remember them no more, the Lord says. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. And the wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. It's kind of a bleak picture, but then you have the next verse. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness is with their children's children. But from everlasting to everlasting, that's a beautiful picture. We are just a little dot, a little speck in the grand scheme of eternity. But the Bible says from everlasting to everlasting, God sees you and he loves you. That's amazing. With those who keep his covenant, remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding. Those who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord all for all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The reason why I wanted to read that today is this. That's a pretty well-known Psalm of David, where he's praising God and thanking him for who he is. It's an amazing one to just keep going over and going over and going over. But what's interesting about it is David is thankful for a lot of things. In fact, David had a lot of things in his life, but in this moment, he's going, thank you, God, that you are gracious, that you are loving, that you never give up on me, that even though I'm just a flash in the pan, you still know me and love me from everlasting to everlasting. But he doesn't mention, God, thank you for all the riches you've given me, even though there were times where God gave him riches. God, thank you for all the power you've given me, even though there were times where God gave him power. He doesn't say, God, thank you for the victory you've given me over my enemies, even though there are many, many times where God gave him victory. What David focuses on here is, God, I'm just thankful for you. I'm thankful that you're so good and you're so loving and you care about me and you don't give us what we deserve. That's what David is thankful for. And I think that's kind of the issue. Sometimes we forget, as David says, do not forget all of his benefits, all of his blessings, all the things God has done for us. When we forget those things, suddenly thankfulness becomes very, very hard for us. Because there's things that we start to think. We talked, I think, in like week one about the fact that sometimes we struggle. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And sometimes we take that for, I have everything I want. We're like, God, what's going on? I got a list. Where's all this stuff that I think I need? When we understand who God is and how much he's done for us and how much he loves us, I don't need anything else. In fact, I am a lot better than I deserve because I know what I deserve. I deserve hell and God gave me eternity with him. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty incredible. And that's a reason to be thankful for him. And that's why Colossians 2 says, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I love that one. Because sometimes we really struggle with, man, what's God's will for me in this situation? And there are moments where God will reveal specific things about his will to you in situations, but oftentimes what seems to be more important to God is who you are when you're going there. Whether you're going right or left, it's about your heart and who you are if you're looking more and more like Jesus. And God will start to work on those things a lot more than he works on take this path or this path. A lot of times it's, are you being thankful on this path or this path? Are you being loving on this path or this path? Are you full of joy and you're full of me, whether you're taking this one or this one? Whether you're taking the highways or the back roads? God cares about who we are along the way. And in here he says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Be a people who are overflowing with thanksgiving. And we can either read that and it'll shock our system, or we'll read that and just kind of gloss over it and zone out. But let's just remember what it says. Be thankful in all circumstances. How many of them? There's not an asterisk there. Except when you have a kidney stone. Except when everything sucks in your life. Except when your spouse is just being a jerk. There's no asterisk, unfortunately. And he says all circumstances. I just want to be clear on something that sometimes we can miss out on that I think is a key building block of theology for verses like this. It's that God loves you and he wants the best for you, even if you can't see it. That his ways are higher than our ways. And sometimes we hear verses like that. We can almost imagine this version of God that's like up in heaven going, like with his arm around an angel going, watch this. I'm going to tell him to be thankful. Wait for it. In all circumstances. Like, I'm going to command it in the Bible so that when they're going through cruddy circumstances, I'm going to have a verse that says, nope, you got to be thankful right now. And we can do that in a lot of areas. You can almost think like God's up there going, oh yeah, I'm going to tell them to forgive people too. I'm going to tell them to pray for their enemies and love those who would do them harm. Hey, here, check this one out. Oh my goodness. I'm going to tell them there's some things that their flesh naturally wants to do, and I'm going to tell them not to do those things. Like these things that come naturally to them. But if we know God, right, as we read the Bible, we know that's not what's going on. God isn't up there going, oh yeah, this is going to suck for Tim. I'm going to tell him to be thankful all the time. It's because when we're thankful all the time, that's when we start to get this glimpse of this life and life to this full, this way that's higher than any other way that we can imagine. That's where we start to see the promise of God come true when he says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest for your soul. It starts with thanksgiving. The fact is, people who are thankful are naturally happier. Just a habit I would encourage everyone to put in practice in their life is taking time to write down things that you're thankful for. It'll change things in your life. Give yourself a high number. Like, you know what? I'm going to go for 100 today. Because eventually, you might start getting in the weeds a little bit, but you might realize some things that you hadn't really thanked God for in a while. Right? Like, God, thank you for my appendix. And the fact that it is not bursting today, that's something to praise God for. Because I guarantee you, if your appendix is starting to burst, you're going to go, oh, I've never thanked God before for all those years that my appendix wasn't bursting. Thanking God just for, man, the AC in my house, the heat, all these different things. I should encourage you, take some time, just thank God. Be thankful for those things. And suddenly it'll change your outlook on life. Because sometimes what can happen is we see the things that God's given us, and we kind of go, okay, that's nice. But this thing over here, ungratefulness is kind of like a stubbed toe. You ever stub your toe and you're just like, that's all you can think about? You're fine. You're not going to die. But your pinky toe is like, I'm dying. You're dying. Care about this. Despite the fact that your rest of your body is healthy. That's kind of what ungratefulness does in our life. It becomes this thing that's all we focus on. It's just one thing, and we forget everything else. We talk about living an overflowing life, overflowing with thankfulness. I want you to imagine for a moment, you're standing in your living room on some brand new carpet. Just had it installed. We all know what brand new carpet costs right now, so you paid a pretty penny. And you got a glass in your hand. And I'm going, and I'm pouring into your glass some wine, grape juice, however you live your life. It's purple and it's stainy, okay? And I'm pouring it into your glass, and I don't stop when it gets to the end. I just start pouring, and it just starts overflowing. Probably your reaction might be nice, or it might be some very unkind words towards me. Either way, your message is going to be, stop pouring. You're going to stain the carpet, right? Because naturally in that moment, you care more about the carpet than you do what's in the glass. And that makes sense. Right? It's a glass of whatever and carpet that costs thousands of dollars. You're going to care about that. But sometimes what happens in our life is we also don't care what's in the glass. God is, our cup is overflowing. And we're not grateful for the things that God has given us, so we're more concerned about the carpet. All of a sudden, God starts to overflow things in our life. And we're more concerned about these other things so we don't cherish what's in the glass. The fact is, it's hard to have an overflowing life where my cup overflows when I'm ignoring the cup. When I'm ignoring what God has already done in my life. Thanksgiving will change things in my life because I'll start to be thankful for so many things in my life that I had ignored before. Gratitude is a key to living an overflowing life. Spending time with God and being a people of thanksgiving and gratitude are so incredibly important, and it starts with little habits in our life. Daily spending time with God, daily taking time to be thankful and write things down. There's just habits that can build this in our life. And finally, we live with generosity. It's hard to have an overflowing life when nothing's flowing out of my life. When things come into my life and I just hold on to them, things come in and nothing comes out, it's hard to be overflowing, isn't it? Fact is, the antidote to being overwhelmed is living a life overflowing in generosity. Every time that I give, my heart grows, my faith gets stronger. 2 Corinthians 9. There's a lot of verses here, but I just think they're so much more important than anything I could possibly say. Paul writes this. He's talking about financial generosity, about giving. And he says this, remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you abound in every good work, as it is written. They freely scatter their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you've proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Overflowing comes from flowing. Paul is talking here about financial generosity. He says those of you who sow much will reap much, just like in any planting scenario. Those of you who have been out in the tractors these past couple weeks, you understand the more you sow in the ground, the more is going to come out of the ground. You can't just plant a little bit in a square foot garden in the backyard and expect a quarter's worth of grain, can you? And Paul says here, the more that you sow, the more that you will reap. He's talking about giving in the church. He's talking about them financially supporting. And that's something I love about this church. We have a very generous church that gives. So many of you tithe and are obedient to God in that and take that first 10%, that first fruits and go, no, this is God's. That's so amazing. But what I've found is this. This applies to finances in just about every area of your life. If God gives you things and you hold on to it, it doesn't flow out of your life, you become stagnant. You no longer become flowing water. If you ever watch water that just stops and is dammed up, it becomes stagnant, nasty, icky. But flowing water is fresh. The same way in our life, the more we let things flow through our life, God gives us grace so we start to give grace. God gives us forgiveness so we start to give forgiveness and it just flows out of us. God gives us financial blessings and we start to bless other people. When we're people of generosity, it's not about a dollar amount or an amount of anything else. It's about a heart. That says, God, when God gives to me, it's not just about me. I'm blessed to be a blessing. When God does something in my life, suddenly I'm not just thinking about how it's going to bless me. I'm like, how can I bless someone else? And that comes from spending time with God. There's no amount of sermons that can guilt you into that. You can't be guilted into generosity. It's about spending time with God and thanking Him for what He's already done for you, that all of a sudden your heart will start to change into, wow, God's done so much for me, so I want to do so much for other people. I want to be an overflowing person where God blesses me and just overflows out and spills out to everyone around me. Fact is, as we've talked about this today, living an overflowing life stems ultimately from walking with Jesus, having a relationship with our good shepherd. But see, sometimes how I can view things in my life is big picture. In fact, I'm the person who at 9 o'clock I start going through my to-do list. Well, I got to do this, and this is going to take this long. And all of a sudden, I'm at 5 p.m. I'm angry because nothing's gotten done, and I'm ready to just go to bed. It's 9:05 a.m. Like, I'm just that person. I start thinking ahead, and all of a sudden, I just get so overwhelmed that I'm already at the end of the day. And sometimes in our own life, we start to see things in our life. Man, I can be more generous. Man, I want to spend more time with God. I want to be a more thankful person. I don't feel like I'm grateful for all the things I have in our life. And sometimes we just get so overwhelmed. It's like that old meme that said, I had so many things to do today, I just took a nap. And sometimes we can do that in our own life. And so I just want to invite you on a journey. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says that those who wait for the perfect conditions to plant will never plant. And that's the same for anything in our life. If you wait for the perfect conditions, for everything to be right, for my heart to be perfectly right, I'll never do it. I'll never take the step. There's an old proverb that says the journey of 1,000 miles begins with what? The first step. It begins with taking that first step out of obedience. And so I just want to invite you today, as we talk about being a people who are overflowing, to take a step today. And as we pray, I pray that the Holy Spirit is working in your life and God's revealing what that step is for you. It looks different for every single person. Maybe it's stepping out and saying, listen, it's time for me to start spending time with God this week. I'm going to carve out some time. I'm going to get the Bible app on my phone. And every single day this week, my goal is just to look at that verse of the day. Maybe for you, it's, I've been spending this much time. I want to spend even more time with God. I want to be intentional about prayer, about really praying for people in my life. Maybe for you, it's about Thanksgiving. Man, God, I just want to be thankful. This week, I'm going to write down everything that I'm thankful for each and every day. Maybe it's generosity. Man, there's some things God's been giving me that I just see as just like mine, and I don't see it as a blessing. I want to start using it to bless other people. Whatever that is in your life, I want to invite you to take that first step today. And maybe that first step is starting your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've never had that relationship with Him, man, where He's your shepherd. Maybe you've never started a relationship at all. Or maybe you've just been doing the church thing for a long time. Maybe you've heard a lot about Jesus. You could maybe even quote a lot of things about Jesus. But really, when you think about it, He's not really your shepherd. He's just kind of an advisor in your life. And today, maybe the step is just saying, God, I'm going to give you everything. I want you to have it all. You are my shepherd. What you say goes. Whatever it is in your life, I want to invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray. As we come before our amazing God and we say, Father, thank you for the fact that you know every single heart here today, including my own. God, I just pray for conviction. I just pray for those of us who have a next step, that you would just make that so clear to us today. Including for me, God, forgive me for the areas where I'm not grateful to you, where I'm not generous, where I'm not as intentional about spending time with you. God, I thank you for your forgiveness, but also, God, thank you that you give us your Holy Spirit just to make us better. I want to be better. And I pray that other people in this room do as well. They want to have more of you to overflow out of their life. And God, for anyone in this place today who's never started a relationship with you, I pray today's the day that they just come to you and say, God, I want to give you everything. I ask for forgiveness for the areas where I've messed up. I thank you that Jesus died on a cross for me so that I'm able to have a relationship with you. I just want to give you all of it right now. God, thank you for who you are, how you're working in this place, and how you're going to continue to work. God, you are awesome and you're amazing, and we're just so incredibly grateful for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.